around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 105 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, exclusively on the listener-supported Head On Radio Network. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day, and today is, in fact, Monday, January the 21st, 2008. So if you're listening shortly after 9 p.m. Eastern on a Monday, that is January 21, you are listening to a live show, and you're welcome to phone in and participate in Conversation Radio. You can speak to myself and to the guest, whom I'll be introducing shortly. If you're not listening shortly after 9 p.m. on Monday, January 21, you're listening to one of our replay streams, one of the archived audio streams, and nonetheless, we appreciate your participating in any way you like. Show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you'll find links to all of the guests, as well as to the guests' websites and to the audio archives from the past shows. You'll find links there to the chat room, which is active as I speak, and you'll find links to the Head On Radio Network main site. At the main site, you can find out about all of the other progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network, of which I'm a proud but only small part. You'll find links at strictlyconfidentialradio.com for Confidential's MySpace page. You'll find links there to help you locate the music that you hear on the show also. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. Or if you have unlimited long distance, please use that and save the studio a nickel or a buck. As we say, we are listener-supported. By the way, you can find the PayPal buttons located at the Head On Radio Network main site. There's a link there off at strictlyconfidentialradio.com that'll take you right there. So if you have unlimited long distance, you could use that and save the studio some money. That's area code 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333. And that rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do attempt to check the email during the breaks. Interesting week coming up on Strictly Confidential. This evening, the gay bar across the street is going to be something that will absolutely rock your world. It's a Dutch DJ. Actually, the music is Euroflash. If you'll recall our interview with Alex Natikin, Alex is the world's leading authority on Eurodisco, and Alex has... we have a Dutch DJ who has mixed together some Eurodisco tracks for us. They are, I've got to tell you, the most articulate, musical, lucid, 110% accurate musical mixes I have ever heard in my life. And it's just amazing. I've really got to tell you, it's astounding. We'll be running that after 10:30 this evening, approximately after 10:30. And by the way, Alex was on the show back on August the 23rd. If you'd like to go back and hear that interview, I don't think you've ever heard anyone with the depth that Alex has. That was back on August the 23rd on Strictly Confidential. You'll find that calendar link at strictlyconfidentialradio.com if you'll just click on the August link. And I'll tell you about our guest that's coming up while the studio is getting them on the phone. If you recall, if you were listening to the network last week, you recall, was it Friday night or Thursday night? Alex, Alan, the trucker, called us and had a great conversation on this show. And as you know, Alex, you never know where he's going to be or where he's just come from. Alex, and so I'm going to confuse Alan and Alex the rest of the evening. That's just the way my mind works. In any case, you never know where Alan is going to be. When he phoned last week, he was actually in Massachusetts. However, he had recently passed through Alabama. And if you'll recall, Alan told us about the Eagle Forum that the local Jefferson County Commission there in Birmingham, Alabama, had voted to spend $15,000, no less, to to bring Phyllis Schlafly of the Eagle Forum Birmingham there. And, of course, Phyllis says that she has been promoting the family since 1972 on her website, as we've laughed about before in the chat room. Anytime an organization uses the word family these days, it usually means that their intent and purpose is to beat up and kick LGBT folks to the curb. Just to give you a couple of numbers before we bring the guest on, there's the county budget last year cut $18 million in vacant positions. They cut $5 million in cultural arts funding, $4 million in worker overtime, and they are at a currently $30 million shortfall. Nonetheless, they found $15,000 to bring the ultra-conservative right-wing Phyllis Schlafly to speak on several topics, including global warming, which that sounds like something you wouldn't want to hear from her on, and including education. So we have on the show this evening Mr. Bob Palamatier. I'm sorry, that's the correct pronunciation, Bob Palamatier. Now, he is the chairman of the board for Equality Alabama, and that's the chairman of the board of directors. He's also the secretary of AIDS Alabama, and Bob is joining us now to talk about what's going on with the county bringing these people in and the frame of mind for Equality Alabama. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Peter.
It's good to have you this evening. First, I have to ask you, Bob, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Excellent. And your voice is coming in quite steady. If there's a problem communicating, just let us know and the studio can make some adjustments. Bob, it was good to talk with you today, and thank you for coming on such short notice. We appreciate it.
Well, I've done a little bit of homework in the few hours that I had, so I know more about Ego Forum than I ever wanted to know.
Isn't that the truth? I had the same reaction when I looked at it myself. Bob, you were having a unique perspective on this, too, because you were formerly a principal of a school there in Birmingham, I believe, and part of what they want to do is to go after education. Tell us what your thoughts are on this. It's just a typical Republican shock story.
Well, this latest expenditure, of course, is ridiculous. It is not the way that public money should be used at all, and that's been very clear in the support the public has given in the newspaper and all the media, actually, that they think it's not an appropriate expenditure at all. And Ms. Collins and her other two cohorts who voted for it have gotten quite a bit of heat from it. I haven't seen anything that says that that's caused them to back down, though. They're saying this is discretionary money. In Alabama, we call that pork. And since it's their discretionary money, they can spend it any way they want. Of course, where they got it from, I don't know why the voters don't have some discretion, but I guess we do when it comes to voting for Ms. Collins and her next time that she runs. Eagle Forum in Alabama has been extremely involved in education. They have meddled in textbooks for some years. They have supported the Reading Initiative and been very negative in their opinion of public education. And the most interesting thing, if you look at the board of directors, most of those people live in the richest area of Birmingham. It's actually not in the city of Birmingham because they formed their own city because they didn't want to be part of greater.
And we're talking about the woman, one of the people who voted for it. What was it? Carnes and Humphreys and Bowman? Are they the ones?
Well, no. I was talking about the Eagle Forum itself.
I see. Thank you.
And it does not represent the rank and file of Alabama. It represents the privileged. And the Ego Forum ladies say that women ought to be at home with their children. And, of course, all of them anyway, the three people who voted, one of them is brand new, who was appointed by the governor to replace a commissioner who resigned to become the mayor of Birmingham. And that is questionable as to whether that appointment was appropriate given the law, so that's in the courts right now. The other two are individuals who are extremely Republican, and in fact, as I told you this afternoon, they were Republican even before all the Democrats in Alabama became Republican.
And that's a long-term Republican. That's what you would almost want to call fatal Republicanism. They will never, ever recover. At least that's my estimation.
Well, Ms. Collins has been a delegate, a Republican delegate, since 1996. So she's very invested in the party.
I see. The local media there, Bob, how's the local media? You're saying that, in general, is it being protested loudly?
Every editorial that has been written has been negative on their action. I haven't seen any support.
Now, this $15,000, what I'm wondering is part of this, do we know how it breaks down? Is part of it from travel expense, or are most of them already nearby the city? It seems like an awfully steep amount of money.
Well, are you talking about the county?
The forum itself. Yes. Yes. People coming. Wondering about this figure of $15,000. Is that a standard fee for them to come spew this Republican bile?
I think they're just one of the sponsors. I think it's going to be more costly than that. And it's not just Alabama. It's what they call their annual leadership conference. And it's really the whole Southeast. Last year it was held in St. Louis, I believe. So it moves around. And I'm not sure how much it costs overall, but the majority of the people who come to it can well afford to support it on their own.
Do you think it's going to fly? Do you think that there will be any changes? Do you think this is going to happen at this point, or is that really up in the air?
Well, at this point, unless they reverse themselves, it has happened.
I see, and this is scheduled soon?
February 22nd and 23rd.
I see, so that's really just a heartbeat away.
Right.
Bob, coming from your perspective as having been a school principal, and you say these people have been involved for quite some time, how have they affected the curriculum? Are they after you to put the opposite of evolution, what is it, creationism in, and all of that, how have they affected the textbooks? I believe you made a remark earlier today that they've had their hand in that.
Well, they managed to get the textbook committee of the state, when it got to came to the biology adoption, they managed to have a notation put into every textbook that was distributed in the state that said that there was no proof that of how the earth was formed and so on, and so they made it definite that and they also lobbied against any book that was other than creationism based, and they got quite far with it.
Go ahead. Well, the other question was also, did they reach into the public school libraries? There's a collection of books, that might be considered more inclusive regarding families. Just wondering how they did that.
Oh, they definitely, if you look at their website, the first thing on the website practically is, let's ban a book or burn a book or get them out of the library. So, yes, they have definitely tried to limit. Probably the most influence that they've had in the state is that the Ego Forum actually wrote or drafted, as they claim on their website, the abstinence-only curriculum that was adopted by the state under the direction of the current federal administration. And that, if you read it, and it's, and they list it on the website, if you read, there are three different places on the website where they claim that part of the minimum responsibility in teaching the health education curriculum as far as sex education is concerned, that says there should be an emphasis in a factual manner and from a public health perspective that homosexuality is not a lifestyle acceptable to the general public and that homosexual conduct is a criminal offense under the laws of the state. Now, that's only true if you don't believe that the Supreme Court has any authority over the laws of Alabama.
I see. That's, you know, we a while back talked with our friend Howard Bayless, who is now involved in the public school system. Howard indicated to us that it's really quite complicated. That it's almost every school has its almost its own district. There are city districts and county districts. So does the state correct? Does this apply to all schools since it comes from the state level?
Yes, it's mandated from the State Board of Education, and all schools that accept state funding, which is all 160 some of them, must follow these guidelines.
Well, the sheriff's department in your area is in has been cut $3.3 million. I would think for the entire Jefferson County, and apparently they are in dire need of new patrol cars. And are people linking this up? I know the sheriff, there's been some articles in your local paper about the sheriff's department needing these cars and they can't get them because of the fact the budget was slashed so terribly. Are people connecting the dots that you know, we're still spending $15,000? In other words, is the outrage, is it linked into financial areas now, or are we still just talking about the political areas?
No, I think people are seeing it as financially ridiculous. And, you know, the county commission has a very sick financial situation right now in that they have been responsible for a federal mandated reconstruction of the sewer system. And that has cost billions of dollars more than it was supposed to cost, and we just had the second commissioner indicted and convicted for having taken bribes and so on in that process. So it, the commission really can't afford any more assaults on their integrity, and this is just kind of heaped on top of everything else that has caused most people to just shake their heads and feel that they're just a ridiculous bunch.
Well, Bob, I'm trying to understand, too, the structure of it all. If I understand you correctly, this $15,000 talk, which apparently they're claiming, the board is, in any case, claiming that it's the education part they're interested in. They want them to work with the state school board and the local school system, which is probably the last thing anybody wants them to work with. Is this part? This conference is taking place at the Marriott. Is that the Eagle Forum's like annual conference? And what this $15,000 is a separate workshop or a separate seminar? Is a part of the conference, or is it something that will take place outside of the Marriott?
No, I think that $15,000 is just a donation to help defray whatever expenses the conference has. And I haven't seen anything that indicates any limitations on how the Eagle Forum can use that money. It's just been donated to them to support the conference. And it's a semi-annual conference, apparently, as far as I can see from their website.
Good Lord. So my feeling in hearing this, then, is that even without the $15,000, it would be very likely that they would want to keep their fingers in the school board and the school districts, that they would probably do this conference or this workshop, whatever you want to call it, anyway, without the $15,000. Does that sound right to you?
Well, they did it in St. Louis last year without the $15,000, so I guess the answer is definitely yes.
Good Lord. This is just amazing to me. Another aspect of this, too, you were the secretary of one of the AIDS projects there in your city in Birmingham, or at least that's what I've gathered from various websites. Is that right?
Well, actually, I was the secretary last year. I, the beginning of this year, became the treasurer. So in both cases, we have a very capable staff, so it doesn't give me a lot of responsibility except to be a member of the executive committee and assist the staff and direction and so on.
Well, as treasurer, then, you would be able to see the financial situation. What is going on in Alabama? Let me put it like this. I'm open about my HIV.
Don't give up any money, let me put it that way.
I see. So in Florida, we have something called the AIDS Continuing Insurance, whereas a person loses their job because they're not able to work, the state will actually pay their insurance premiums to keep them insured. Does anything like that happen in Alabama?
I've never heard of anything like that, no. And that
I see.
We have a terrible time with funding for all of the AIDS services, even though...
I see.
Well, AIDS Alabama actually is a statewide organization. We're one of the only ones in the country that functions the way we do, in that we provide housing and social services, and we also fund all of the local AIDS service organizations. So we're a conduit for federal, state, and city money to other agencies. We're actually an umbrella agency for the state. And in doing that, you know, I've never come across anything like the insurance you're talking about.
I see. Well, this is such another slap in the face for the LGBT community. How do folks who are HIV positive get their medications? Of course, the vast majority of people are not insured under any program. Does your organization help with that, and how does the county fit in regarding any funding for that?
The county is not involved in that. Most of the funding for meds, there is some money put in by the states. There's some federal money that we distribute. Medicare, Medicaid are utilized to a great extent. So we actually are at the point now where we no longer have a waiting list for medication. We've gotten, with the increases in the Ryan White Act this last year, we got enough money to actually equal out so that we are up to date serving everybody that we're aware of. And of course, at this point, that awareness is about to be increased because there's a great push nationwide to do more testing. And the more testing you do, the more people you find who are not aware that they're HIV or AIDS.
Bob, I came across an article today that talked to a degree about that actually Alabama, especially in a city like Birmingham, is actually fairly progressive. In other words, gay businesses, LGBT neighborhoods. In fact, there was one statement saying that there was a general approval of having LGBT neighbors because LGBT neighbors were known for improving the house and painting and keeping things nice and that sort of thing. Nonetheless, though, this particular article about the Jefferson County Commission, it's got to be disturbing to you as a whole because it paints Alabama with a brush that just says, don't go here, but that's not always true. What is Alabama? We do a lot of news articles about, this murder or that murder, or, coming out of Alabama and other states in the South. We don't just focus on Alabama. What is it really like to be an LGBT person in Birmingham?
Well, it depends on your circumstances. Where you live is not really restricted. I live in one of the what would be called the better neighborhoods in the city, and my neighbors don't seem to care what my sexual orientation is. And that seems to be true for people of means. And what I'm saying is people who have the money to pay their way and pay taxes and buy houses or rent apartments and houses and basically, you know, be good, upstanding taxpayers and citizens, we seem to be accepted anywhere in the Birmingham metro area. In fact, the used to be the neighborhood that I lived in formerly was just heavy LGBT, and it has not stayed that way, because once the neighborhood kind of got brought out of the doldrums, why, all of the straight people have gone back and bought again. So that neighborhood is very diverse at this point, and that seems to be happening in various areas in the city. So right in the city, there's a lot of diversity, but it's also out in the surrounding areas. There are a lot of gay, lesbian people who want to live in the far suburbs and commute, or their job is out in the suburbs, and so they choose to live there. And I don't hear a lot of people with problems. Now, the people who don't have means, they're the ones who have difficulty, and that's why AIDS Alabama is focused on providing housing, because the people with HIV and AIDS are not welcome everywhere, and that's not just an Alabama problem. But I think it's more the when people try to go into areas where there's not the general acceptance in education, there is a kickback. And if you look at where the murders are, they're typically in rural areas in the state where you still have a very different mentality than you have in the more educated, diversity-oriented metropolitan areas.
Judging from what I've read, Bob, actually living in Birmingham is a lot of people actually like it a lot. Who lived in Alabama and maybe moved in from some of the smaller cities. Apparently, Alabama has a lot going on that we don't always hear about when it's reported nationally. Of course, it's usually painted with the brush of "don't go here." It's all very dangerous for blacks and for gay people and the whole bit. So I'm hearing a different story for the metropolitan area. I'm wondering about AIDS services for folks who live in rural areas. How does that work? And is there still a stigma that people don't want to be tested in rural areas because somebody might find out they're positive and the implications?
Well, I think you're very right on that. We've increased the acceptance in even the rural areas, and AIDS Alabama does have some rural outreach, and there are several of the service organizations that we fund that do serve more rural areas. But as you would expect, the major structure is located in the cities of Mobile and Montgomery and Birmingham, Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, Anniston, Gadsden. Those are the Florence. That's where you're going to find most of the services, and anybody needing services from outside of that area pretty much is going to have to come in. We have a rural studio where we provide services outside of Auburn. It's in the Auburn-Opelika area, and then there is some rural service in West Alabama to the west of Tuscaloosa, but other than that, I'm not familiar with too many other areas that have tried to go out into the rural area.
Bob, there's something encouraging I came across in going through an article today regarding what happened with the city council. Apparently, a while back, the city council, there was an anti-discrimination resolution that would include sexual orientation. And from reading this, I judged that there were people who laughed about it on the council and it failed and this sort of thing. But shortly after that, there was a huge outcry from the public, and then the resolution was presented again and it passed. Are there any hopes of doing that for about Phyllis Schlafly coming to town and this $15,000? What do you see there?
Well, the city council and the county commission are two different bodies. The city council strictly governs the Birmingham metropolitan area. The county commission provides services throughout the entire Jefferson County area. And their services are more things in the area of sewers and so on. And the sheriff's office, the court system, a jail or two, and things of that sort. It's not like they actually manage and operate a government that, like the cities do, because there are cities in this area. I have no idea how many there are now, but we have in this county at least 12 school systems, and those are all in separate cities, except for the county system, which is a large system. But that's one thing that the county commission is really very limited in their connection to the school system. Even they are, you know, it is a part of the county government, but it operates on its own with its own board.
Well, Bob, in looking at the Eagle Forum website, one of the things that they're very proud of and one of the things that they loudly lift up is that the Eagle Forum successfully led the 10-year battle to defeat the Equal Rights Amendment, which would have been inclusive of, which would have been, I think we're lately referring to it as the Matthew Shepard Amendment to add LGBT to the equality segment of the federal government. They seem to be very proud that they helped lead that battle to defeat it. They're saying the battle had a hidden agenda of tax-funded abortion and same-sex marriage. It seems to me that the only comparison I can think of between LGBT folks and black folks, this is as big of a slap in the face to LGBT people and women who are who wish to control their own bodies, as it would be for them to contribute $15,000 to the Klan, as the other side of that ratio. Is there talk in some of the LGBT organizations in Birmingham about protesting this loudly?
Well, I mean, we've certainly talked about it a whole lot, and we have made our voices heard, but we don't even have to do it because the general populace is just as upset about it for different reasons, just because they think it's absurd to fund kind of what they view as a private activity, even though it's a public organization, it's nonprofit, but they view it as not something that is for the general good. And so there's not a real need for us to oppose it as an anti-LGBT thing when it's so much more than that. It's against, like you mentioned, it's against women, it's against school people. This organization wants everything their way, period. And they want to be the controllers.
It sounds typical of the money elite, doesn't it? Who's invited to this so-called meeting, or what are they calling it anyway? A meeting or a seminar? What are they calling it? Who's invited?
Leadership conference.
I see. And is it open to the public, or is this section for teachers, or what?
It's open to the public, but it is It's their organization. So this is the members coming together.
I see.
You said the money people. Well, most of these members are drawn from the more affluent portion of the population in this state, at least.
So the $15,000 came from the pockets of the poor parents who send their kids to school. You probably have county taxes for the school system, and in other words, this money is being stolen, in my estimation.
Well, I think you've got a point. This money came from all the taxpayers of Jefferson County, and it's being used to support a very limited group that does not represent all the taxpayers.
Well, it certainly is. It's a good thing. It makes me feel better that you're seeing widespread support from the local newspapers and others than just the LGBT community. And that's a very hopeful thing. Bob, would you keep us in mind and let us know as this situation develops if it's somehow or another this is turned around? We would like to know more about this.
I will be happy to.
Okay. I should also say, too, that you and others at Equality Alabama are always welcome to participate in this show. You don't have to have a formal invitation. Just give us a call any time during the show. Provided there's not a guest, I'll put you on right away because, as I mentioned to you earlier, we've had the equality organizations from several states on the show over the past year, and this was a great time to include Alabama in that, and we are very interested in I don't think I did tell you, though, we have a large number of straight listeners in addition to the LGBT folks, so you're actually talking to a fairly wide group of people, and it's so important to get these things out.
Well, I think our allies are very important. In fact, I was kind of joyed when I was researching the county commission head, Betty Fine Collins, today, and I Googled her, and the third item on her list is a blog written by one of the Equality Alabama board members, who is one of our straight allies. And if you want to look at that, you find it very interesting. It's called Birmingham Blues Blog.
Yes.
And
that's, go ahead, please. Yes, I was just going to repeat her name. That's Betty Fine Collins is the name you would Google.
Right. And the third one on the list is a blog that's extremely supportive of the LGBT community. In fact, she's a board member of ours, and her brother, who was very recently deceased, was one of the founders of our organization.
Well, that's great news, Bob.
There's a lot of commitment there, and her blog is really interesting. It's always fairly political, and she took on Ms. Collins, and that was why she was listed as the third one there.
Well, that's amazing. In fact, I will do that. And by the way, to the listeners who would like to Google that, I believe her name is Bettye. That's right. Betty with an E. Fine is in the word fine, ground fine, Fine Collins. And so, yes, we may even touch bases with those people and talk about having them on the show. But as for both of the organizations you participate in, Bob, please stay in touch.
Well, and just as a final, I moved to Alabama in 1981. And I have no intention of going anywhere. So yes, Alabama is quite hospitable with, you know, for people from our community and for people from outside. And those of us who move here and discover that it is a great place to live are embarrassed by our national press. But in one way, that kind of keeps the wrong types out too. So we kind of suffer with the embarrassment and knowing that it keeps people from finding us and finding what a good deal it is to live in Alabama.
Well, that brings a big smile to my face, Bob, I have to tell you, to hear encouraging news like that. We got the same impression when we had Howard Bayless on. The way the media paints a state isn't necessarily always true. Obviously, there are problems, but all states have problems. In fact, even Massachusetts, who's legalized gay marriage and actually calling it marriage, there are a huge number of organizations there still screaming and ranting and protesting and carrying on even these years later. None of us will ever be shed of it, I don't think, in our lifetimes anyway.
No, it's not going to go away. As long as you allow dissent, it'll stay with us. And
so
I think
true.
You want to keep that on the table.
Okay. Well, Bob, thank you again for being on Strictly Confidential this evening. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night. And that was Bob Palamateer, and he's an interesting fellow. Apparently I didn't ask him about this, but going through the materials today, he lives with his partner of 18 years, and they live there in Alabama, and he is a former school principal and is now involved in various LGBT organizations in Alabama, and we give him credit where credit is due to... And apparently another interesting thing that I came up reading about Bob, he was actually an out school principal. The staff knew and the other teachers knew, and they, you know, went to, you know, their home, Bob and his partner, their home for, you know, Christmas parties or what have you. And so it was all very amiable. So Alabama is not as bad as we make it out to be. But nonetheless, there are a few people who have not caught on, apparently part of which belonged to the Jefferson County Commission. And if you would like to find out more about this, you can just Google Eagle Forum and also include the word Alabama in the Google, and you'll find out. It'll pull up the articles from the Alabama newspaper and various references to the whole sordid deal. I certainly hope that enough noise is made that these people will be embarrassed from and dissuade from passing over poor people's money, and the county's money at large is basically what comes down to being a donation to the Eagle Forum. I call it a donation because they're going to have their conference there anyway. It's not like they're traveling to town specifically to do this meeting. They're going to be there having their conference anyway. And as Bob pointed out, there are other cities who have had these... there's probably not a word that I would dare use in your head, these meetings, who, in fact, have not had to pay for the services of Miss Phyllis Schlafly, who, by the way, she opposes feminist goals and stereotyping. And, Lord have mercy. We oppose liberal propaganda and the curriculum of schools. We oppose feminist goals of federally financed daycare. No, we certainly wouldn't want to have that. And there's a long list of on the Eagle Forum, the site of the many things that they are very, very, very proud of, and the things that that you and I, as thinking people, and you know, it's amazing how badly money corrupts, is it not? Money, big money, money corrupts, and big money does it absolutely. Is that the way the phrase goes? It's hard to say. I want to do this story here, a little story before we actually might run a music track here in just a few minutes. We're still going to do the gay bar across the street segment, which tonight is just stunning, but we may do a separate Italo disco track. But I wanted to tell you a story about Obama today. Obama did something that no one has dared do at this point in time. He actually directly addressed the black faith community. He didn't hold back. He let them have it. This is what Obama said. I think it may have happened yesterday. He was addressing a church. He was addressing the Dr. Martin Luther King, where he preached. Dr. Martin Luther King preached at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, and he made a very direct and pointed statement to black parishioners. And you know, we sometimes want to paint black folks with a broad brush because of what we hear coming from South Africa, the rabid anti-LGBT speech that comes from there. And people like Ken Hutcherson, who's the fellow that we talk about often on this show, who is in Seattle and his rabid anti-LGBT movement. He's the one that wants everyone to send him a share of Microsoft so he can fight the gays. He's a black man. But this is certainly not true of all black people, but it is true of the fundamentalists, just as it's true of the white fundamentalists in this country. But no, it's a little difficult to address the black faith community, at least it has been. This is a dialogue that desperately needs to be open. But, you know, Barack, being a black man, was able to do it today, and I'm proud that he did. And may it open a longer dialogue. He said, and I quote, "For most of this country's history, we in the African-American community have been at the receiving end of man's inhumanity to man. And all of us understand intimately the insidious role that race still sometimes plays on the job, in schools, in our health care system, and in our criminal justice system. And yet, if we are honest with ourselves, we must admit that none of our hands are entirely clean. If we are honest with ourselves, we will acknowledge that our own community has not always been true to King's vision of a beloved community." I like the word beloved there. That's a great word to use there. Great word. Way to go. King's vision of a beloved community. He said, "We have scorned our gay brothers and sisters instead of embracing them. The scourge of anti-Semitism has at times revealed itself in our communities. For too long, some of us have seen immigrants as competitors for jobs instead of companions in the fight for opportunity. Every day our politics fuels and exploits this kind of division all across the land and all races and regions and across gender and the party. It plays out on television. It's sensationalized by the media. And last week it even crept into the campaign for president with charges and countercharges that serve to obscure the issues instead of illuminating the critical choices we face as a nation. Kudos to you, sir, for actually using the phrase 'we have scorned our gay brothers and sisters' instead of embracing them to a large, very large church full of people who have been exposed to some of the vitriol that were cursed, etc., etc." And so, and then, you know, none of the others are doing it. Certainly not the Republicans, and none of the other candidates running for president have. And maybe Kucinich would have said something like that, but of course he's not being taken seriously at all. In fact, you know something, I this will appall you. The other day, someone asked me what I thought about the presidential election. What did I thought about, you know, Hillary and Obama? And I said, I said to them, well, you know, actually, I would prefer Kucinich, but since they looked puzzled, they stopped me. Kucinich? Who's Kucinich? And so, yeah, the media is very successful in keeping the large number of people who are just, you know, have to go to work, have to take care of kids. We see the evening news occasionally. We don't have time to invest our lives if we're working more than one job. We don't have time to invest our lives in following the internet and the blogs. These people, when you say the word Kucinich, go, who? I didn't know there was anybody named Kucinich. Pretty amazing, huh? Yet we all know the name very, very well here at this network. Tell you what, let's do. Getting back to Al, we'll do some more news later and bring you the. But there's a track I wanted to, maybe a couple of ones to run this evening before we do the gay bar across the street section later in the evening. And in fact, it is a track that Alex and I talked about when Alex was on the show, and that was back in August. By the way, if you'd like to hear that, that's August the 23rd. That was amazing. We talked about a couple of tracks, and we didn't run either of them while Alex was on the show. And I thought, in keeping with the general tone of Italo disco this evening, which is very different, much different than the the everyday disco that you hear. We would run a couple of Italo, or at least one Italo disco track that myself and Alex talked about on the show. It's a great track. It's by Fun Fun. And in fact, Alex talked about Fun Fun. Fun Fun was actually a group that consisted of different people, because the name of the group, Fun Fun, was actually thought of by the record company. And then, so actually, as time went by, the actual staff or the actual singers within the group Fun Fun changed, because nobody owned the Fun Fun name except the studio. And of course, they were such a huge success in the dance floors that we don't know which people from Fun Fun did this track. This is a Hot Tracks remix of Color My Love, and it's interesting, even the word color is spelled in the European way, of the English way, C-O-L-O-U-R, Color My Love. It's a great track, and it looks like it'd run about top of the hour. Bob, let's hit Color My Love, and then we'll go in the top of the hour break. You're listening to Strictly Confidential. My name is Peter Godbold, and the telephone number is toll-free, 877, the number 4, head-on. We're streaming exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back.
And I am back, riding across the desert on a horse known as Strictly Confidential. This is Peter Godbold, and the show is Strictly Confidential, the LGBT version of Conversation Radio. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4 head-on. That translates into 877-443-2366. Again, if you have unlimited long distance, please use that. We are listener-supported, and you'll save the studio a few bucks if you'll use 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. Peter Godbold is the... I was trying to do my email address, and see how easily I'm confused. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. That's Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the mail during the show. The last half hour of the show, we have a mix that is going to sincerely, it's life-changing, is the best way I could tell you. This is going to be, it's by a Dutch DJ, and his name is Martin Verlaine. And the guy, they're really the vocabulary fails to describe. In fact, I told Alex that it was just beyond flawless. I rarely begin telling people anything. Things are flawless, yes, but this is way past flawless. It is. It's just amazing. I'm looking forward to presenting that to you. Probably about 10:35, something like that. We'll run that track. Our friend Gene, our News Ninja Gene, who is probably as terrified as about Mike Huckabee as I am, sent me some news today regarding Mike Huckabee and some of the subgroups that he's involved in. I think I used the expression the other evening that we should be afraid of Mike Huckabee as a slug is afraid of salt, because indeed... Now, the effect would probably be just about the same should this madman get in office. Of course, things are changing lately. My understanding is that he did not win in South Carolina, but that hardly means that he is out of the race. This man, Huckabee, is an intelligent version of George Bush, and because he is intelligent, he grasps the concepts of fundamentalism and dominionism far better than Bush ever could, and is waiting to implement them. He is from the left behind crowd, which is, as Bob Kincaid likes to put it, the Jesus appearing on a cloud and the rapture, etc. Whatever your feelings are about that, I'm here to tell you that the left behind series is the militant version of it. It's pretty much Jesus with a chainsaw and a machine gun coming back to have dominion over the earth. But in any case, I am going to tell you a little bit more about this Huckabee thing. You know, he's gotten endorsement. You know, he's been endorsed by Hutchison, the watchman on the walls fellow that I ran on incessantly about, the guy who's going to shut down Microsoft and the guy who wants you to send him a share of Microsoft stock. Yes, that Ken Hutchison. He has been endorsed by him. And the article, though, that our friend Gene, News Ninja Gene, sent along to us, details a link between Mike Huckabee and Bill Gothard. Now, not everyone knows about Bill Gothard. In fact, I had only heard the name briefly at one point in passing years ago. It sounded vaguely familiar. I didn't know much about Gothard, to tell you the truth. And, of course, this comes on the heels of Huckabee saying that he wanted to change the U.S. Constitution so that it was in accordance with God's law, which is really what these people are about, the Gothard and Huckabee, the whole religion. You know, see, having power in the church is not what they want. They want complete control. It's like a drug with them, intoxication. There's no more lifting up a Christ to be a friend to the downtrodden and the lonely and the brokenhearted, which is biblical, by the way. There's none of that. No, we shall have none of that here. We want our God with a machine gun and a chainsaw and a machete is what he wants. So, I'll tell you about... Huckabee's even been through Bill Gothard's basic program. I'm going to tell you about what this program means and what this program does in just a little while. And by the way, this...
this organization that Gotthard runs is deeply involved in homeschooling. The Denver Post showed that this fellow, Matthew Murray, if you recall, he was a 24-year-old gunman who killed four people at the, I hesitate to use the word Christian centers because they're so far off the market, so it's hard to express it, but over in Colorado this past December, he had been through, he was subjected to Gotthard's what's called super strict homeschooling. He is a result of that, and of course we could probably agree that Matthew Murray was not very far from being crazy. Certainly people like Gotthard and those programs and the attitudes basically, in my estimation, if it was a short walk to being crazy, they definitely escorted him to the door of crazy. Huckabee's also involved with him. There's actually a website that details a link between Mike Huckabee and Gotthard. It provides evidence using 990 forms that, for various forums and organizations that Gotthard is familiar with or that he's involved with. They're longtime associates, he and Gotthard, and Huckabee actually has been photographed recently in a Huckabee for President campaign. Now, who is Bill Gotthard? He's not very well known, and he's a Dominionist, part of the Dominionist Christian community. He is an evangelist, not quite the same ilk as Benny Hinn, because he's a little bit more, less flamboyant about it. He is the center of a nationwide multi-million-dollar network of enterprises, which sounds a lot like Benny Hinn. He has a seminar-driven ministry. Read that paperback religion. He calls the Institute in Basic Life Principles. Now, this Basic Life Principles course is something that our dear friend Huckabee has been through. Now, the IBLP, the Basic Life Principles, includes, as I said, homeschooling. It has an unaccredited medical school, and it promotes faith healing and other quackery. There is an unaccredited law school. Can't make this stuff up. And this is what Huckabee has been through, a Bible-centered paramilitary boot camp. Yes, my friends, when I say Jesus with a chainsaw, I mean it. Jesus with a machine gun, I mean it. Jesus with grenades, I mean it. Jesus with tear gas, I mean it. That's what these people are about. I kid you not. Now, the organization IBLP, the Institute in Basic Life Principles, has brought in $28 million in revenue in 2006 alone. It shows assets of over $100 million, consisting of significant real estate and other holdings. Anyone here surprised? I seriously doubt it. There's a chain of craft stores. They're based in Oklahoma City. These craft stores are called Hobby Lobby. As I said, based in Oklahoma City, they have purchased and donated millions of dollars worth of property to Gotthard's organization from something as innocent as Hobby Lobby. The donations include hospitals in Little Rock and Nashville, list of other impressive properties. But, of course, he's not taxed on any of this, mind you, because he is a seminar-driven ministry. Now, Gotthard teaches, and his followers follow him in this. They model their lives according to ultra-puritanical interpretation of Christianity. It is an authoritative system. It's one size fits all. Here's what it tells you to do. It stresses and urges submission to authority. Well, now, that's just a key element in the disease, is it not? It discourages the expression of free will and rebellion. Let that sink in. It characterizes anger and rebellion as a personality problem rather than a natural response to injustice or a natural response to repression. And then so many of the, I'm a true believer, our sect is the only one that's going to get to heaven. In many of those sects, and especially in Gotthardism, best I can pronounce it, Gotthardism, it provides a rule for every situation. Every situation there's a rule, and each one, allegedly, this is what they'll tell you in the seminars, You probably won't find many of them in the Bible, but in the seminars they will tell you that each one of these rules for every situation is based in Scripture. Now, many of his ideas are Taliban-esque, is the word I saw today. Wonderful word, Taliban-esque, are archaic. Wives, by the way, you straight women are not off the hook here. It's not just about us this time. It's about you too. Wives are expected to be completely, I emphasize the word, completely subservient to their husbands and to their fathers. Never mind that daddy is diddling the little girl. You need to be completely subservient. Now, Time Magazine did a report on that called Obey Thy Husband back in 1974. Divorce is unacceptable under any circumstances, any circumstances. Dating is forbidden and not permitted under any circumstances. Individuals must live with their parents until they marry. It says that most mental illnesses, including psychophrenia, is the result of lack of personal responsibility. Now you understand why his medical training, his medical center, his medical school is not approved. I think you can get a catch of that there. He says that Cabbage Patch dolls are demonic, and also the troll dolls are demonic, and that in fact having them in your possession can cause birth defects of the child that you are carrying in your womb. Yes, Cabbage Patch. I'm surprised Tinky Winky isn't in there, but somehow Tinky made it out of that, and just the Cabbage Patch dolls and the troll dolls. The financial empire he is sitting on, of course, it's family-centered. He encourages his followers to raise large families. He said many of the disciples have over a dozen children. Now, okay, you can't make this stuff up. Gothard has never been married. Oh, Lord. He lives at his childhood home near Chicago. And he's cordial, just like the devil, as the Bible would say. Yes, just like the devil. He's cordial, and he's mild-mannered. And his delivery is completely different than Benny Hinn or Jimmy Swaggart. There's no fire, there's no brimstone. He does things like videos, and his possessions, or the presentations are combined with overhead projectors and PowerPoint, which my favorite phrase is all the depth of a PowerPoint presentation. Forgive me, Microsoft and Bill Gates, but, you know, you just can't ignore a phrase like that. He delivers his speeches in sort of a monotone and sort of like an after-lunch presentation by an insurance salesman is the way this is referenced out. And with the PowerPoint presentations, this is how he comes across, very organized and mild-mannered. So he attracts a different sort of religious nut than the ones who are into the religious spectacle, as we talked about with a Benny Hinn or some of those folks. Goddard's organization has been the subject of media reports of child abuse, including beatings and locking children for hours upon end in a prayer closet, which is short for saying you lock your children in a closet and tell them to pray, but by calling them a prayer closet, you would imagine that it has wallpaper and a statue of the Virgin Mary, et cetera, et cetera. But I seriously doubt it has that. Goddard blames rock music for Murray's outrage. Now, remember, Murray was the guy who shot up Denver, the 24-year-old. I talked about at the very beginning of this. It was, of course, because he was homeschooled by Goddard's insane rhetoric by his insane mother. Not that at all. It was because of rock music. He said that is the most contributing factor. It's important to see the connection between his passion to kill and rock music and how it ultimately brought it on. So saith the Goddard. Of course, many Americans find this fairly bizarre, but and, you know, whatever, those people are always going to be on a sinking ship somewhere until you realize that he is directly connected to Mike Huckabee, which is how we started in on this little spiel. Governor Huckabee of Arkansas said, the man who's running for president, said, as a person who has actually been through the basic seminar, I'm confident that these are some of the best programs for instilling character and lives into the people. Obey authority. Anger and outrage is a personal character flaw, not a response to injustice. Obey authority. Lord have mercy. in addition to Huckabee, there was another favorite. Gothard had another favorite. It was Little Rock Mayor Jim Daly, who was very loyal to him. There are various cities that they focus on. There's a huge range of videos you can order. There we go. One of the videos is Bill Gothard on mental illness. In this segment, Gothard shows that mental illness, including psychophrenia, is the result of irresponsibility. And Gothard attributes this theory to an unnamed Jew. Absolutely true. There's a huge conference, the segment that was reported. Inside the 300-room hotel, the prayer closet is a little room where kids are taken when they disobey the staff at the Indianapolis Training Center. Once locked inside, the misbehaving children are forced to sit and pray to Jesus, sometimes for days at a time. Huckabee loves the man. It's the best way to get an understanding of Christianity. Just pay Bill Gothard. He'll lead you to Jesus. Master charge and Visa accepted. We take American Express. This is the Holy Constitution that Mike Huckabee is pushing. You know, it makes you wonder about Mike Huckabee's rock and roll band. Remember, they played, what was it, REO Speedwagon the other day? We did some audio clips. They play all sorts of rock and roll. But his Mike Huckabee's rock band is called Capital Offense, by the way. So apparently Huckabee's rock and roll, and the fact that he plays the bass guitar, is not applicable in the deaths of so many people in Colorado by the young man who was pushed over the edge by these people. There are so many. The data I have here, it's inches thick. There's no possible way to present all of this on any single show. Let me tell you about this. This is the application form. I'm going to give you the application form. This is what Huckabee would have filled out since he went through the basic training. It says last name. Age, date of birth, spiritual gift. You need to state what your gift from God is. Your birth order, where you were in the sequencing of your siblings. Your denomination, your father's occupation, the number of children in your family. Please use a separate sheet of paper and in 500 words or more, explain why you desire to attend basic training cadre. List 9 character qualities that will enable you to successfully lead other men. Please explain your relationship with your parents. Please explain your relationship to children and your siblings. Who are your accountability partners? Give a testimony of your salvation. List any leadership experience in the church, camps, church groups, etc. Do you listen to any rock music or music with a rock beat, namely country western, rap, oldies, CCM, I guess that means country music, I don't know, it's all caps, CCM, light rock, etc. This is, I'm looking at the form with a fill in the blanks on it. Explain your views on music. Do you have a clear conscience? Do you struggle with your thought life? In other words, those illegal thoughts that you're supposed to monitor so closely. How have books affected your life? Which books have you read in the past year? Are you writing to girls other than sisters? Oh, honey, I email men all the time. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, yeah, that's a whole other story. Explain your views on courtships. Lord have mercy. How do you respond to your father's decision? And when you disagree with your father's decision, how do you come in line with your father's decisions, meaning your earthly father? What are your plans after the program? Well, let's talk about the program is based on actually several modules. The first module that you would take would be basic training. After basic training, you can continue into emergency response training. By the way, these programs become more and more militant as you proceed. For instance, scuba diving, rock climbing, ladder climbing, fire rescue. Everything is taught here. The entire spy versus spy military techniques are taught here, with the exception that they don't bother to bring in guns. It's just assumed that if you're a jerk who's big enough to join an organization like this, that you already trained with Daddy's rifle on the farm. After the that, you can move into advanced training. Let's talk about what Mike Huckabee went through. It's a 9-week alert basic training. This is what he says has brought him to where he is in his life with Christ. It's basic training prepares men for a disciplined life. He needs to develop a 5-year plan for his life. Okay, first as training elements, spiritual elements. It's structured around being able to recite 1 Peter word for word. Recruits are challenged to establish the discipline of personal devotion, scripture memory, etc., etc., etc. Then there is character training. And it should not be confused with church camp or recreational outdoor programs. No, this is far tougher than that. Training in godly character is organized into cluster. And you must comply with the cluster, and there is the principle of authority is what is taught. And the main issues that you are taught are obedience, submission, and loyalty. Anyone here surprised? Anybody see a theme developing here? Oh, how they would love to have us back in the villages working as serfs and indentured servants on the rich man's farm. You remember, this man is a multimillionaire. He has property everywhere. The basic training environment is effective in revealing attitudes and rebellion in young men. It trains you to be a good employee, not a business owner, but an employee and a faithful son. Meaningful projects allow men to develop these qualities along with punctuality, accountability. Also, he went through physical training. It's part of basic. You learn self-control and mastery over one's physical body. Skill training. You learn about compass skills in the woods and elementary rope work, and practicing crossing rivers and rappelling, high-angle rescue. It's totally paramilitary. Everything but the gun is here. And it gets more and more militant as we progress through the various courses. Problem-solving, response training. Here's what you have to do to advance on to the second phase. This is what, after you complete the basic training, Huckabee completed, this is what you have to do. You have to be able to do the following things to graduate. You must demonstrate discipline in personal devotions and Bible study. You must demonstrate a willingness to serve. Demonstrate the ability to work as part of a team. Wear the alert uniform properly. Yes, they are all in paramilitary uniforms. Just demonstrate proper care for personal items. Complete the hikes, the solo hike, the endurance hike, the responder hike. Demonstrate competence in the following skills: evangelism, manners, field work, including outdoor survival and navigation, first aid, search and rescue, rope work, and military drills. Hup, 1, 2, 3, hup. Also, to pass, you must be able to do 42 push-ups and 52 sit-ups, run 2 miles in less than 15 minutes, and recite the entire book of 1 Peter, King James Version, mind you, upon promotion. Kid you not. Oh, it gets much worse. Under emergency response training, you get to do basic firefighting, basic high-angle rescue, counseling, evangelism, open water diving advanced, rescue systems, responding to emergencies, a SAR, And I had to look at this. What's a sower? This is one who can, on the road, you're going to love this. One who can demonstrate the proper use of a chainsaw. Search and rescue, special response diver. Goes on and on. And then the advanced rating is even more military. You have to do aircraft maintenance, just in case you want to crash a plane for God, I suppose. Aircraft maintenance, auto mechanics, aviation, basic leadership training. This is the advanced course that Huckabee did not complete. Auto mechanics, aviation, emergency medicine, probably from his disaccredited or unaccredited medical school. Emergency faith healing is probably what the name of the course should be. Paramedic, the next time I fall on the floor and I can't get up, the last paramedic I want to see is somebody from this group of throwbacks. Oh, emergency services operation. Law enforcement, yes, that's good. This is to protect the church when the homosexual and the radical feminists begin taking over the planet. Because we ain't going to put up with that. This is a to-the-death fight. This is what God said in the Bible, and now we're, and it's not negotiable. Facility care 2. It goes on and on. I just thought you might like, and Gene, thank you for sending that article in. It does indeed, very clearly, make me, again, more afraid of Mike Huckabee than I am a slug afraid of salt. Because indeed, I'm melting is about the only thing I can tell you regarding that. And then article came in late today from Lottie, one of our chatters. By the way, you guys, you got to stop by the chat room. If you haven't stopped by, it's really something wonderful. You don't have to talk if you're afraid to talk or you're new and you just don't want to deal with it. You can just log in and say hi and then just be quiet and read, and you'll eventually get them. So you'll find some of the best friends you've ever had in the Head On Radio Network chat room. It's available by going to strictlyconfidentialradio.com and clicking on the link to chat, or you can go directly to the headonradionetwork.com main page, and you'll find links there, and, of course, links to the donate button. There's 1,000 roads to get here, and you'll find it worth the trip. But in any case, one of our chatters submitted this. Now, I was loath to do this article, because it's about the Roman Empire and the various emperors, and as I have told you in the past, history was never my best subject, simply because there didn't seem to be any gay people in it, and I thought it was pretty boring, so I didn't pay much. So I'm not an authority by any means of the Roman Empire, nor am I an authority in any way on pronouncing the names. But there is an emperor, and if anything is mispronounced, just talk among yourselves. I promise I won't do an article like this. Hadrian was a gay emperor. Now, he was well known as fortifying the Roman Empire, but there is now an exhibition that's taking place that shows the other side of the man. He's classically Roman, and he was no ordinary emperor. It's a new exhibition at the British Museum, and it makes quite clear that Hadrian was not only a peacemaker who pulled soldiers out of modern-day Iraq. What is it about Iraq and leaders? It's hard to say. But he was also the first leader of Rome to make it quite clear that he was absolutely, positively gay. Don't you love that? The emperor's, you'll see his bust and various images. There's Hadrian's Wall and things like that in the museum there in London. It's a singular life story of a gay emperor, and he was made emperor in AD 117, and he inherited the Roman Empire while it was in its prime. Oh, the dances they must have had. It had to be fabulous, were it not? Would it not? Rome had previously thrived on a policy of endless expansion and conquest. But his first move within hours of being coronated was to withdraw the troops from Mesopotamia, which is now Iraq. You got to love those gay guys. And no, we're not going to have this. Three snaps. They're coming back right now. there are various artifacts that are attributed to him that are on display there. And now, it wasn't uncommon, according to the information, that his predecessors, in addition to his female spouse and other females, to have taken on gay lovers alongside. But Hadrian was unique in making his love official in that way, meaning the gay lovers, as no other emperor had done before. And he had to get married, though. Even that just never ends, does it? He had to get married. It was politically arranged to Sabina, who was the niece of the former emperor, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I won't go into a great depth and embarrass myself further by trying to pronounce these names, but just wanted to let you know that within hours of his coronation, he withdrew the troops from Iraq. You gotta love a guy that would do that. And speaking of Florida miracles, which we weren't, if you recall, we had our friend from Equality Florida on last week. We had Nadine Smith on, and we talked about the fact that indeed they had not come up with all of the signatures that they needed to come up with to get the anti-marriage amendment, the anti-LGBT, get it into the Constitution amendment in the state of Florida. They suddenly turned out they didn't have enough signatures. And, of course, the fundies are very much concerned. But does anyone doubt if the opposite were true, if this had worked the other way around, that they didn't have enough, but suddenly it turned out that they did have enough, they would be calling it the Florida miracle, that it would be the hand of God who created these extra votes, and that they were indeed 22,000 votes over, not 22,000 votes under. Oh, they ought all be chanting it from the rooftops. It was a miracle. It was the Florida miracle. Well, I saw Jesus in a slam dunk meal at Denny's. It was a grand slam. I could just see it now. You know, anything, don't get me started, but I just thought I would mention that yes, in fact, it would be called the Florida miracle. This is absolutely true. And by the way, another of the endless Why Are You Gay studies has just completed. This one took a sample of over 7,000 participants at a state university in North Dakota, and it identified a correlation between sexual orientation and, no, not which hand you are, no, not how long your index finger is, no, not the myriad of other studies that we're told as to why we're gay. This one is it's determined by blood type and Rh factor. And then it goes on to tell you that heterosexual males and females exhibited statistically blah, 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 frequencies of this sort of blood and that sort of blood and the pH level and the Rh factor, blah, 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 blah. And so in any case, they have now decided that you can fairly accurately determine sexual orientation by blood type and the Rh factor. Interesting enough. And suggesting that perhaps sexual orientation is on chromosome 9, which is where blood type is determined, and on chromosome 1, which is where Rh factor is regulated. But enough about that. What you're going to hear at the gay bar across the street this evening is the most articulate, the most musical, the most lucid, 110% dead-on accurate mixing I have ever heard. And believe you me, I have heard some mixing in my time. The overall effect is simply stunning. Simply stunning. Now, if you recall, we interviewed Alex on the show, and I've given you the date for that to go back and listen to that interview. It was back in August the 23rd, I believe. And Alex is the world's leading authority. The Pitkin is the world's leading authority on Italo disco. And we had a wonderful conversation. That particular show has been listened to by a huge number of people who've gone back to hear that show. We contacted, as regular listeners to the show know, a group of some of the world's best DJs to provide mixed music for the last half hour of the show. People like Bobby Vitaretti, Jerry Bonham, Larry Sanders, the list goes on and on. It's just a very small fraction of people who are involved. Also JVC, to name the whole list. But we also contacted Alex. Now, Alex has hooked us up with a Dutch DJ from the Netherlands. This man's name is Martin Verlaine. He's 36 years old, and he's been making mixes since 1995. The equipment he uses is a PC with Adobe Audition. In the 90s, he's made various Italo year mixes that were broadcast on Dutch radio. Recently, he's done remixes for record companies and has released the mixes of Usher, Snoop Dogg, ADR, 50 Cent, and, of course, many of the Italo disco mixes. This particular mix you're going to hear this evening was produced exclusively for the Strictly Confidential radio show, and we very much appreciate it. Although you really should list that on your music site, because I got to tell you, this is too good to keep under the Strictly Confidential umbrella. By the way, you can find Martin's site. Just go to HTTP. It's martmix.shorturl.com. That's spelled martmix.shorturl.com. And, of course, Alan's site is euroflash.net, and that's with the dash between the euro and a flash. It's euro-flash.net. What you're going to hear here in a 17-and-a-half-minute mix segment are no less than 16 songs. The knowledge of this music and the way it is put together demonstrates to me such a deep understanding of the music. It's not just... This is to mixing what laser guided missiles are to bombing. These are absolutely stunning. They're technically accurate. I lost the words to give you all the kudos I have for this. But what you're about to hear is a 16 track set done by Martin Verlaine. He is a Dutch DJ and who comes to us courtesy of Alex and Pickin, and you're going to hear 16 tracks. It's called Disco Takes Volume 2, done for the Head On Radio Network and Strictly Confidential. So as we head over to the gay bar across the street, we have Mr. Martin Verlaine playing Bob Rowlett. We'll be right back.
precious life.
Yes, I am virtually speechless after hearing that. That is just the most amazing example of what I would call a mega mix that I have ever in my life heard. Musical, accurate, articulate, every word applies. A mega mix, by the way, is when you include many, many tracks in a single mix. This was a total of 16 tracks. By the way, we have a running joke on this show about the use of cowbells in some of the disco tracks that we play. It's not that we don't like cowbells. We love the cowbells. But we had a little discussion about cowbells. Well, this particular mix, not only did we get the cowbells, we have an actual track called Moo, which was the cows that you heard, the Matterhorn Project. Just amazing stuff. Dancing in Heaven, the Tesla Girls, the Suspicious Minds by Bobby O. I got to tell you, this is just amazing stuff. Martin, if you were listening, we would deeply appreciate any other... Now, I know this had to be a ton of work, brother, but my God, the results. And I should tell you, the chat room absolutely loved it, as did I. Amazing stuff. By the way, you can find out more about Martin at http://martmix.shorturl.com. That's martmix.shorturl.com. And Alex, thank you from the bottom of my little dancing heart for sending Mr. Martin Verland to this show. And that's a fellow who mixes Snoop Dogg and Usher and Adore and 50 Cent. And this just comes out. I mean, you know, you got to hand it to a guy that can mix that wide of a range of music and have it come out absolutely flawless. Thanks again, really, honest thanks. And I need to tell you that there will be a horn section tonight. It will be myself, and it will be Mr. John Fox from Australia, and it will be Mr. Bob Kincaid from West Virginia. So you'll have Florida, West Virginia, and Australia sitting in one room in just a matter of minutes. The horn section begins at 11 p.m. Eastern Time and runs till 12 midnight Eastern Time. And then at 12 midnight, John Fox's show will begin. That show is called All Foxed Up. And John will be with us live this evening for All Foxed Up. So, again, thank you all for being here. Thank you to our wonderful guest from Alabama. And great stuff. So, there's nothing else to say, but here's Cynthia Manley reminding you, too.
The best music happens when the sheet music gets put aside and the gang just sits down and jams. Same thing here on The Horn. America's best liberal talk hosts free-forming together for an hour a night. Welcome to The Horn Section.